You're listening to an edited version of the live Voices of Montana statewide radio program. Find us on Facebook and subscribe for further podcasts wherever you get your audio on demand. I'm Tom Schultz, host of the program. Thanks for joining us, and please feel free to contact me at studio@voicesofmontana.com. First, let's welcome our guest for this first part of the program, scientist Dr. Todd Kuhl, Yellowstone National Park lead biologist, and appreciate you coming on, Todd. I know you guys are busy this time of year, and I was telling Haley, who I'll introduce here, Haley Glassick. She is a PhD candidate at Montana State University and with the Montana Cooperative Fisheries Research Unit. You know, Todd, folks are kind of jealous of the job you get to do. You get to be out there in the outdoors. But then I'm reading reports, and I read this recent report, and reports don't seem like it's all fun and games. So thank you for doing the work you do. How you doing, sir?
I'm great. Hey, it's very nice to be here. Thanks for inviting us today.
Yeah, and Haley, we chatted just briefly off air. How's it going? Haley Glassick.
It's great. Yeah, thanks for having us.
All right. I appreciate the report. I'm going off, obviously, a Billings Gazette article that mentioned microplastics detected in three Yellowstone Lake species. And for me, it was, I guess I call it a gut punch, too, because as it's noted here, Dr. Kuhl, the Yellowstone is probably one of the most monitored ecosystems in the world, and discovering microplastics there in the food chain had to be real disturbing.
Yeah, it was surprising for us. Again, as you mentioned, Yellowstone Lake, you know, being as remote as it is on the, you know, in the lower 48 and as highly protected as it is, it's probably one of the most protected environments, you know, on the globe. So, this new findings here that Haley, you know, led this research over the last couple of years was all new to us. You know, we're aware of the other threats that are out there. Of course, we're battling invasive lake trout and these kinds of things, but this is a new one on our plate, I guess you'd say.
Haley, when you were going through this, and did you have a suspicion? Was it sort of, or how did it come about that you wanted to study the possible presence of microplastics? And tell us what microplastics are, and then also kind of go into why it's maybe so concerning for us.
Yeah, so microplastics are particles less than 5 millimeters in size. And like you've mentioned, like Todd mentioned, they've been coming to the forefront recently in a lot of environmental research. And how we actually started this research was somewhat of an unfortunate or fortunate accident. So I worked with an undergraduate researcher, Stephanie Driscoll, who was the lead author for this paper. And we were working on going through diets for lake trout and Yellowstone cutthroat trout in Yellowstone Lake for some of my dissertation research. And as she was going through some of these diets, she was finding these small fibers and particles. And at first, you know, maybe it was just by chance, and then it was much more pervasive in a lot of the diets that she was looking at. So she approached me, and we approached my advisor, Christopher Guy, who's with the Cooperative Fishery Research Unit and the USGS. And we came to the conclusion that this is something that we should look into further, which is when we started this research, and Stephanie did a really great job making sure that there wasn't any contamination within the lab space to really make sure that we were finding these microplastics because these fish and the amphipods or the little shrimp that we also sampled were picking them up in Yellowstone Lake. And the reason why, you know, we're concerned right now is that we haven't found this to be true yet in Yellowstone Lake. This was a, you know, pretty cursory first look at the fact that there are microplastics in Yellowstone Lake and they are in the food web. But microplastics have been shown to accumulate chemicals. They can accumulate heavy metals and even, you know, disrupt gut processes in a lot of organisms. So discovering them is kind of the first step, and we have a bit more work to do to determine whether or not they will have an impact on the Yellowstone Lake ecosystem.
And let's go there now. Haley Glassick is with us. She's a PhD candidate, Montana State University, a scientist who, and with the Montana Cooperative Fisheries Research Unit. And then the lead biologist for Yellowstone National Park is Dr. Todd Cool. Todd, I wanted to let's clarify a few things here, too, about how the magnitude of the problem. It wasn't like you found microplastics in every fish that you netted out of the lake. I don't know. Is there a scale? Is it relatively? Maybe it's hard. You have to do more studies. But what is the magnitude of microplastics right now in Yellowstone?
Well, I think that, you know, in the research we've been doing since the discovery here over the last 12 months especially, and partnering with others that have expertise in with microplastics in the Western U.S., and the real issue is that these things are everywhere. And it's not just Yellowstone National Park. It's not just the greater Yellowstone ecosystem. Microplastics are coming out of the sky. And so, you know, what is the magnitude of the problem? You know, we're still trying to get a grasp on that. And so I think our scientists everywhere, this issue has really emerged over the last 10 years or so. And we're just trying to get now a handle on it, especially in Yellowstone.
Mm-hmm. And Haley, expound on that a little bit too, because I see here, you know, in the study that, as I mentioned, it's not every fish. I don't know how we put that into perspective as to defining the magnitude of the problem or where we're at right now with this. But what was the findings, and how many fish did you actually sample?
Yeah, so that's a great question, and really, I think, puts some brackets on the scope of our study, is that, you know, this study was kind of founded as an undergraduate research project for Stephanie, and it was funded by the Montana State University Undergrad Scholars Program and in part by the National Park Service. And so the scope of this project had to be bound within, you know, those restrictions. And so we went out and we sampled 5 Yellowstone cutthroat trout and 5 lake trout and 30 amphipods. And so our sample size is pretty small. Mm-hmm. However, you know, we did find microplastics in a subset of all of those samples. Now, the important thing to point out is that we also found microplastics in all of the water samples, but, you know, these organisms and animals have ways to graze, right? They're eating food in the environment, and for fish especially, they're filtering water in order to oxygenate their gills. And so the way in which they can consume microplastics, there are a few different ways. It's not necessarily that they may be targeting the microplastics. We don't know that for sure, but they may be ingesting them unintentionally. And, you know, the flip side of this, like you said, is because we found, you know, so few in the sample size that we have, that may be somewhat encouraging that where the microplastics are accumulating in Yellowstone Lake may not have an impact on those organisms in the future. And that's, you know, something that is encouraging, but we need to do more research on.
Yeah. And Todd, follow up on that too, because I assume that Yellowstone, that the ecosystem there is one of the most monitored ecosystems in the world. Monitoring this ecosystem can tell us what?
Well, yeah, I mean, what can it tell us? I guess change over time would be the main reason for monitoring. And you're right. I mean, it probably is one of the most monitored ecosystems in the world. But this is a new one, right? So we don't have monitoring of microplastics going back in time. We're starting now at, I guess, ground zero to try and understand the magnitude of the issue. Yeah.
Gotcha. What's the next step then as the lead biologist for the park?
Yeah. You know, we're seeking external funding to support research going forward. And I think that research will need to sort of quantify what the deposition rates might be to Yellowstone Lake from atmospheric sources or maybe even some local sources, although, you know, places where folks are visiting the park around Yellowstone Lake I mean, these aren't places where there's a lot of release of plastics in the environment, right?
I mean,
all that is pretty well taken care of in the park, and we're pretty certain that the majority of these plastics are just coming straight out of the atmosphere. So we need to quantify what those deposition rates might be to the lake. We need to better quantify what the densities of the microplastics already in the lake are, and then conduct research to try and get at what the impacts of these microplastics might be on the physiology of these animals, for example, on their reproductive rates and that kind of thing.
Haley, could
you get a better handle on the impacts to the ecosystem?
Yeah, and I got a less than a minute here, Haley, but could you follow up on that? What do you suppose in your research there could be the impacts?
Well, I think, you know, considering that we didn't find them in every single fish and, you know, we're not pulling out stomachs and all they have in their stomach are microplastics. So I'm encouraged by the fact that we found so few in the digestive tracts. And, you know, the main thoughts we have to go off of are from other studies. And like Todd mentioned, you know, microplastics have been linked to differential reproduction in some organisms, and in some larval fish species or very small fish species, the microplastic can completely stop digestion and block the digestive tract.
All right, stand by. We're going to come back and explore more issues in the ecosystem when it comes to Yellowstone, the illegal cisco population, the lake trout population, as we look at one of our favorite spots on the planet, Yellowstone, here today on Voices. You know, discussing the topic of microplastics in our ecosystem, as I said earlier, plastics are very useful, but there also can be consequences. They're non-biodegradable, and we are finding these microplastics actually in almost every place on our terrestrial territory here, and finding them in Yellowstone National Park, Yellowstone Lake, in the cutthroat, and the lake trout. Sort of a new discovery, but it does have a lot of questions that come with that. And we are discussing that here today. Haley Glassick was one of the lead researchers on that study, along with Stephanie Driscoll, Christopher Guy, and then Todd Cool. Haley is a PhD candidate, Montana State University, and with the Montana Cooperative Fisheries Research Unit. And then Dr. Todd Cool with the Yellowstone National Park, the National Park Service lead biologist for the lake here. Haley, before I move on to cisco, and I know that Todd's going to kind of cover those things, lake trout as well. What are your thoughts on this research, on, like I say, if you pardon the pun, gut instincts on where we're at, what we need to do, and just some takeaways before I let you go on this study and the next steps?
Yeah, I think letting the public know and, you know, having us on your show is really encouraging. The more this is picked up by radio and newspapers, the better informed the public is, and we can all start thinking about our impact more on the environment and the impact of these microplastics and how they may be continuously pervading a lot of the ecosystems we love. So I've been, you know, encouraged by the amount of feedback and relations we're getting out of this research, and I'm encouraged to see what's happening with the further research on Yellowstone Lake and microplastics.
Before I let you go, what are you doing today? Are you out in the field? Are you doing something fun that we'd all want to be doing?
I'm not out in the field today, okay. So I won't make you jealous. I am part of my job is being out in the field, and then the other part is sitting behind the computer doing all the data analysis. So today is a computer day, but I hope to get back out soon.
Well, I know that you enjoy that as well, but that's the pecking part of the job. Thank you for being on, Haley. I appreciate that, and we'll keep in touch, okay? I just want to follow this along. I know that about the only thing I think that we can do about it is limit our use of plastics. And as I was saying with Todd here, I mean, we're smart enough to come up with a better way. We just haven't done it yet. Thanks again, and we'll chat with you down the road, okay?
Yeah. Thanks so much.
That's Haley Glassick, as I mentioned, from Montana State University, PhD candidate. And now Dr. Todd Cool, Yellowstone National Park lead biologist. Todd, again, I appreciate your time here. We kind of talked about next steps for the park. Obviously, a disturbing development, but you guys have other challenges there that I wanted to talk about. I think one of the main things is is the illegal Cisco population in Yellowstone and Yellowstone Lake specifically, but also the lake trout population. You guys have had a netting program that has been going on for a lot of years. You, I think, almost doubled efforts a while back, and you're seeing some progress in that regard. But let's catch you up to date on the ecosystem surrounding Yellowstone, starting with the Cisco.
Okay. So we have an aggressive program to conserve native cutthroat trout in Yellowstone Lake, and that the core of that program is suppression of invasive lake trout, which were introduced to the lake sometime in probably in the 1980s. So for over 25 years, we've been gill netting these lake trout out of Yellowstone Lake during the open water season from May to October. We're at a point right now where we're setting and retrieving more than 6,000 miles of gill net each summer, which is enough gill net to reach from Yellowstone Park to Italy. And we are removing over 300,000 fish per year by doing that. And we're having great success. The cutthroat trout are rebounding, and the fishing in particular is phenomenal on Yellowstone Lake for extremely large cutthroat trout. Our season just opened on Saturday, and so I was out there, and I can tell you from firsthand experience how great the angling is.
Oh, great.
But yeah, but you're right. As a part of our netting program in 2019, we actually netted a fish that we had no idea was in the lake. And this is a Cisco, which is basically a fish that is not bottom oriented or surface oriented. It kind of lives out in the abyss of the lake. And they're not native at all to the park. They're not native anywhere in the western United States. They're native to the Great Lakes and lakes of Minnesota, places like that. There are introduced populations of Cisco in northern Montana, especially in Fort Peck Reservoir. And the reason they were introduced there is because they're a great food resource for fish like lake trout. So when we found this Cisco just two summers ago, we were pretty alarmed because it is a preferred prey of the invasive lake trout. And we only caught one fish, but it was a three-year-old fish, a female. And we have methods in the fish world where we can look at the bony material of a fish. And similar to the way you can look at rings in a tree, if you were to cut and look through tree rings, fish lay down bony material similarly, and that bone reflects the water that the fish are in during that period of their life. And so we look back through the years that this fish had been alive and looked at the chemistry of its bone, and it had been in Yellowstone Lake since it was born.
And you know,
so this is a fish. This is a fish that was born in Yellowstone Lake, meaning it has parents in Yellowstone Lake and probably has thousands of siblings, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, and that
wasn't found anymore.
I suppose another gut punch. Finding it, but finding out that it had been born there. Look, I got to take a news headline break. It'll just be a 2-minute break, and we'll come on back because more to this story I know, and I know folks can help as well. So we'll come on back as we're talking about Yellowstone National Park, the water ecosystem in particular here with scientist Dr. Todd Kuhl. Back with more after these headlines from Brian Bennett. Derek Ski is going to join us here in just a little bit. The native cutthroat trout population in Yellowstone Lake making a comeback. The lake trout population declining. Those two things go hand in hand. They recently found a three-year-old female fish born in the lake, a Cisco, which is non-native, which the lake trout love to feed on. Todd Kuhl is with us here, lead biologist for Yellowstone National Park. And Dr. Kuhl, finding this fish here, is it possible that, as you said, Cisco was planted in Fort Peck because it's a good food source, that it made its way to Yellowstone naturally, like the lake trout migrated to Yellowstone Lake from other areas in the park?
You know, when the Cisco population in Yellowstone Lake, there's no way the fish were naturally invaded the lake on their own. There are there's no waterways that would connect existing populations elsewhere. So these fish at some point were brought here intentionally by someone. There's no question about that.
And I'm sure that just that boils the bubble, doesn't it?
Yeah. It's hard to imagine, the reason why someone would, do that. And I'd just say they would have had to have taken great care to move enough Cisco, being the closest population is Fort Peck, which is 6 to 8 hours of driving time just to get to Yellowstone Lake, if that's even where the source was. I mean, they could have brought them from the Midwest, I guess, too. But it's hard to imagine, that going on. And they'd have to move enough fish so they could obviously eventually find themselves in the lake and then reproduce and result in the one that we caught, the offspring. So
the message,
not a minor effort at all.
Right. And the message is always don't do that. Please don't do that.
Yeah.
We've got about a minute and a half here. Let's call it a minute. So you're going to be trying to get rid of the lake trout. And people like to fish for lake trout, but they were just very damaging to the cutthroat and the Cisco at the same time. How are you doing that?
Well, I mean, so it's true. The lake trout are phenomenal fish in the place they're supposed to be. The issue is that lake trout are basically now a reservoir for all those nutrients. They consume cutthroat trout, they consume other resources within the lake.
Mm-hmm.
And then those resources are not available to the other animals in the ecosystem that we all love. Ospreys, eagles, grizzly bears, otters, right? If the cutthroat trout aren't there because the lake trout have consumed them, all that energy is then tied up in lake trout, not available to all these higher level animals that we love to see. And so they've been displaced over time due to the lake trout. The lake trout live deep in the lake and they're just not accessible to these other really cool, wildlife species in the ecosystem.
Do you feel like you've turned the corner?
Yep. Yeah, we have. We've reduced the adult lake trout abundance by more than 80% just in the last several years. Their issue with these fish, though, is that they're incredibly resilient in that they continue to produce a lot of young fish, a lot of young age 2 fish. That's the year that we start getting them in our nets.
Dr. Todd
Cool. So that's why it's so important.
Out of time here. Heartbreak. Thank you so much for being here. We'll touch base
Voices
again.
Montana continues right after this.